12:40 a.m. WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. My name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. We are presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen of Oak Lawn, Illinois. Joining me, as always, to my left is my twin brother, Billy. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Hi, Clay.
Hi.
Got through that opening pretty professional style,
yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah, that was smooth.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
You feeling good?
I feel pretty good tonight. It's been a good week.
Nice weather.
Beautiful weather tonight. It's supposed to rain all. It's been raining, and then we get teased for a couple days, and then it keeps raining again. My kid can't get their baseball season going.
Mine either.
So it's becoming kind of difficult because all of a sudden the coaches have been calling me, and all of a sudden there's an event every day.
Yes, it's backed
I'm
up.
I'm like, this is killing me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So
you should coach.
And then just cancel every practice. Practice this year? We're not having practice.
Yeah.
Show up to the games. That's it.
My kids' league, they do the practice before the game for a half hour.
Yeah. Well, they do that as well with the girls.
Oh, then you have practice in addition to that.
Right.
Oh, I think we might too.
So for all of you
parents
out there who like baseball, this segment's for you right now. Youth baseball. Bill, how was your week?
Good. Yeah, I worked on Saturday for the Kentucky Derby last Saturday.
I was going to ask you.
That was wild.
You know, my distaste for millennials seems to not go away.
Why are you so? Yeah, what is you're
a grumpy old man.
You are turning into a grumpy old man. Why?
No, I love millennials.
He recants.
I just don't like them when they're drinking.
You're basing this on.
You just don't like people when they're drinking.
No,
not millennials.
I don't want anyone to be there. I just want like five people to be there so I can entertain. I don't need to have like. But my bartending days are over. It looks like.
Why?
Yeah.
The good old Duffy's Tavern was put on the market. It's going to be for sale, the bar.
So if any of our listeners want to buy a bar.
Yeah, you want to buy an Irish bar.
Give us a call.
Go to Forest Park, walk into Duffy's and find the owner and talk to him.
Give him a suitcase full of money.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be happy to take that.
Yep. But I'm thinking that even if it does change ownership, this is it. I'm retiring.
You're hanging up.
After how many years? 45?
20. 17.
17 years behind the rail?
Wow.
No, think about this. I'm 39, 18 years behind the rail.
Yikes.
Wow. 18 years behind a stick.
That's a full another life
of drink.
It is. It's just a whole, like, it's.
That's a professional baseball. That's a full. You had a career as a bartender. Yeah. You officially had a career.
You're Cal Ripken.
Right.
And you're the Cal Ripken of.
I was the
Cal.
I'm the
and actually,
horse.
Mike
I'm the
says.
Cal Ripken of bartenders. You understand?
Mike says, what about the extra money? You know? And he's absolutely right. I'll figure something out. You know, there'll be a new scam out there to do on the weekends to put a couple hondo in your pocket.
Yeah.
There always is.
Yeah. I'll just create some new.
You'll be a dispensary man, maybe.
Ooh.
Who knows?
That'd be interesting. I went from bartender to bud tender. Billy the bud tender. You'll have a lot of millennials. Let's get back to your millennial hate. What happened?
I just, you know, it's.
Was there an incident?
Like pub crawls, I've never been a huge fan of those, but I've never was that guy that was like, I'm going on a pub crawl. Just, and I mean, I get it. Like, it's for like charity and stuff like that. They're fun. I thought I was off the hook. Like, I got, like, you know, some people came in for this pub crawl, and it was a really nice group of people, like, probably in their 40s up to their 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very polite and kind. You know, they came in, they hung out, and they left. And I'm like, perfect. You know, during the race, everything was like, all right, we got a rush. We were busy. I had a full bar.
Yeah, sure, right.
And then, like, 45 minutes later, it was like.
And it was a crazy derby to watch.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Craziest ever.
Yeah,
ever.
Like, 45 minutes later, just like a mob scene of like.
Motley Crue walked in.
Kids, you know, ages, you know, 21 to.
Did they have derby seersucker on and like hats?
That's No, but no one will ever.
It's so white.
Like,
it's so.
It's obnoxiously white.
Yeah, it is. And there's just something like uppity.
There's something
about
obnoxiously
it,
you know? White about the Kentucky Derby.
Mom and Dad are going out to get drunk today, so they have their seersucker and their white bucks on, and Mom has a big white hat on, and they're going to come home trashed at about 9 o'clock tonight.
Yep.
And all it is like a photo op for adults now, for like yuppie adults. Like, they're posting their pictures on Facebook. Like, the Kentucky Derby's like Easter for them. Like, look at me in my Ralph Lauren
outfit.
It's
drunk Easter.
It is drunk Easter.
Drunk Easter is the Derby.
It's a good way to put it. It's drunk Easter.
It's drunk Easter with horses.
From a fashion sense, yes.
We should
drunk
actually
Easter.
Start our own.
I should start
race
a Kentucky
the Drunk Easter race.
Kentucky Derby.
Maybe
the
I can
Kentrunky,
start
the Kentucky Derby.
That could work.
Kentucky Easter.
The Kentucky Derby.
Drunk Easter is a great name for a band. Not a band, but a brand, like a clothing brand.
Drunk Easter. Skankier.
You know, this seersucker suit is brought to you by Drunk Easter. Easter by Patty Houlihan. That's my line.
That's
Drunk
genius.
Easter.
That's genius.
All it is derby clothing. Every year I sell it.
Yeah, all the hats.
It's
all the
cheap
nonsense.
Derby clothing. Like, you don't have to buy, like, you're only going to wear this one day, or 2 days a year.
It's the cheapest fabric you
can
possibly buy.
That's a pretty darn good idea.
Drunk Easter.
Find the cheapest fabric out there and make it out of that.
I'm going to find the cheapest fabric in the world and make a brand called Drunk Easter. Kentucky Derby clothing for the uppity guy who doesn't want to spend too much money on clothes.
Yeah. The guy who hates his life.
For guys who hate their life.
I guess my thing about the crowd like that, you know, like that, like, why is it? I don't know. But
I had that. I was tending bar as well, Bill, that day.
You know, it's like, can I get a Bud Light?
And I had
her. We've done this over, and I've talked about this over and over and over again on this show. And if
good
you kids are listening, can
you're,
we get
you're gonna
if,
stop.
If you listen, I love you. I'm just trying to teach you a little etiquette. If you go into a slammed bar and you order one Bud Light and give me a credit card and then say close it out,
yep.
I'm gonna strangle you. Because I know you're going to be here for another 25 minutes.
Right, and order another one
and order another
run
one
it again,
and do
it run
again.
It again and run it again.
Yeah.
What's the fear there?
And nobody buys their friends rounds.
No, this...
Like, if you're in a pub crawl, you look at your buddies and you'd be like, I got this bar, you get that bar. I mean, it's easier that way.
That
it's
died,
like one guy stands there, orders everybody a drink, pays it, we're done.
That died with, you know.
Yeah, what happened to that? What happened to that camaraderie.
It was in the 90s. It's gone. It died with
that kind of bar etiquette was very 90s,
Bill. It died with Cobain and Tupac and those guys.
Buying rounds? That died with Cobain and Tupac. Nobody buys rounds no more. That is the most insane thing I think I've heard all week.
Guy hasn't been bought a round since Tupac was here.
Like my new shirt, Drunk Easter. Nice, huh?
Drunk Easter. I got it.
It breathes well.
It's for Drunk Easter.
Yeah, Bill. I did. Well, go ahead.
Let's talk about the horse race. I'm sick of hearing.
I don't even
drink.
Yeah.
So did you bet it?
No. But my sister won and then had it snatched right out of her hands.
Oh yeah, because it got the race for our listeners out there. The Kentucky Derby race. The winner was called back for a foul.
A foul. Bumping into a horse.
Bumping into a horse apparently, and then they gave the
rule
second...
number one: don't bump into the other horses.
Okay. Yeah, they were in the slop. You know, this is a very controversial call.
It was a drift. It wasn't a slip.
Right. It was there. I saw it. And they said that the horse racing in the gaming commissions said that if it wasn't the Derby any other day, that horse would have been called back as well. So they can't honor the Derby just because.
Right, right.
Fine. A lot of people are arguing the better horse lost, you know.
It's not full contact horse
racing. They're like, he just barely bumped him. Like, he should have won. He won by a horse length.
That's crazy. Can you imagine thinking you won the freaking Kentucky Derby and then someone tells you that you didn't?
Well, how about how long that it deliberated for? Like 15 minutes after the winner was announced, all of a sudden the guy's they're just cutting to him on TV, the owner of the horse, and he's just like, I mean, that was worth probably like $12 million to him.
Yeah,
you know?
Right around there.
And all of a sudden.
And fame and whatever.
But how about the other horse that won? 65-1 shot.
Yeah, that's
the
nice.
Long shot wins it.
Somebody had it. A lot of people did, I'm sure.
I was at the park that day. I don't with my son, and I had forgotten that the Derby was that day.
Yeah, right.
Until I saw a guy.
A drunk Easter guy.
I saw a drunk Easter guy with his kid at the park. And I went, what is it? You know, what's with the sport coat? And I knew the guy, right? And he goes, it's Derby day. Wife and I are going out to have 50 mint juleps later, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like,
I'm going to smack her around.
Okay. So he didn't say he was going to smack her around. That would probably not. It's not very Derby-like. You know? They make that announcement at the Derby. Please don't smack your lady around.
Please don't slap your wife.
This is a horse race. Anyway, I was sitting there with my son, and he goes, I go, it's Derby day. And now for the last, I've had some luck lately in gaming.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, right. You won one thing once.
I won an NCAA square.
Right.
That's the only thing.
I won the final for the NCAA.
All right.
Yeah, but I had a premonition that Tiger Woods was going to win it. We called it on the radio here.
But you didn't bet on it.
I did not bet on it. I wish it was 14-1 for
all
Tiger.
All right, so yeah, we'll count that.
So I'm thinking to myself, God, I wonder if there's a long shot. I should just go put $50 on it. Just
you
for
did?
The heck of it.
Did you?
No, I was trying to figure out how to do it, and I was like, I bet that wins, you know? And then I just went home from the park, and I didn't bet.
32-5, I think.
I'm watching the race. I'm like, oh, there's the long shot. I would have bet that. And then all of a sudden, boom, it wins. It was the one that got, you know.
$50 on 65.
But I didn't win. You know, it's like playing. I have this fear, Clay, because I played.
You know what happened? You won, but you didn't win.
Exactly. Right?
I hate when that happens.
I was right, but I was wrong. I didn't.
I was right, but I was wrong.
I was right, but I don't get any money for it.
How many guys you think did that? were just like, you got to throw a double deuce on a long shot to win. I always bet the biggest long shot. I'll always take
some money. That's why you should always do that.
Yeah.
Because there could be a disqualification.
That's correct.
But when was the last time?
Always bet the long shot.
When was always? Has there been a horse that's ever been 65-1 to win the Derby?
No. That was like the longest shot ever that did it.
Yeah, that's
$100 bet paid $6,500.
I know.
Come on. You know, there was some guy hammered at like Caesars that like saw that. He had just won like 50 grand or something like that. And he was like, put a G note on the long shot. What the hell? Why not? Right? He's flush with cash. And then boom, that would hit, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a great feeling.
Well, Clay, it's like the feeling that it gave me is like I play Lucky Day Lotto religiously a couple times a day. It's a twice daily game here in Illinois. Yeah. Must be sending the Illinois
Lottery. That's like a horse race with 800 billion horses in it.
If I don't, like, I watch it go, oh, it rolled, it's 200,000 today, or midday's 350, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a pathetic way to live your life, you know, to just be walking around going, I hope I'm due today. That lotto was going to happen. Honey, relax. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to win lotto next week.
There's probably about 75% of the people that live in Illinois that have that fantasy.
If I don't play, all right, and this is...
You feel like you're missing out.
I check my numbers because I play the same dedicated set of birthdays every day.
Right.
And I'm like, I know that it's going to happen one day.
Will you tell us?
Where I'm at Charlotte's softball practice too long and I couldn't get to my lucky day in
time.
That's
psychotic.
And then I wake up the next day and there's the numbers. I'm like, oh my God.
It's literally like betting on a horse race with 350 million horses in it.
Yeah. It is, yes. Miracles happen, Clay.
That's true. People get horses get bumped. That's
they
crowded.
Do. Yeah. You know, here's one thing.
Will you tell us your numbers?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
4, 13, 15, 16, 26.
A lot of odds.
Yeah, a little bit in there. It's all birthdays.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, right.
The only thing that I'm thinking that I got to get some more jive going and luck going. And what's going to bring me luck is eating more McCann's lunch oatmeal every morning.
I think so.
Eat that three times a day. Put down the lotto tickets.
Rub it on your lotto tickets. Dip your lotto tickets in McCann's every morning.
Do that. Yep. Let them dry out.
It might change the output of the winnings.
Mm-hmm.
Show's presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. I almost said smoke meal. Irish oatmeal.
Yeah.
The greatest oatmeal on earth. More Hooli's Hooli Radio after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero and tell them Hooli sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClurg Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Skinny and Hooli show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine, a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil's soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hoover.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Yeah. Welcome back, Hooley Sully Radio Hour. Good. I don't know if I've told you guys this.
What's that, Pat?
I've had the stand-up comedy bug hit me again.
Lately. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to get involved?
Well, last week we had Pat Clifford on the program. He runs...
Sure, right. Did a great job.
The comedy show at the Oak Park Brewing Company in Hamburger Mary's in Oak Park.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I went and saw the show. It's the second time I saw the show. It was very good. They had a headliner named Blake Burkhart. Very funny guy.
Sure.
Guy.
Yep.
And then I met up with Sean Flannery, who runs Blackout Diaries.
Sure, absolutely.
And he's got a couple of new shows. He was just on Comedy Central. I went out and had a beer with him.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you got to get back out there. Just start doing it again. Uh-huh. And so I'm thinking about it. You know,
yeah.
I haven't made the leap yet.
It's uh-huh. funny you say that because I, myself, me, Clay,
yes,
have also been thinking about it.
Just getting the itch?
Yeah, I've just been kind of...
Start hitting some mics up?
Uh-oh. Kind of winking at it.
Which brings me to this. We have a returning guest this evening.
Yes.
He was on the program probably a little over a year ago.
Right.
He runs the Sunday Funnies at Friendly's Tap in Berwyn.
Nice.
On the first Sunday of every month. His name is Paul Obis. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Welcome.
Am I allowed to talk now?
You are allowed to talk now. You are allowed.
It's strict rules.
Yeah, we have new rules with the guests. We like to let them integrate into the show slower.
Texas rules.
Yeah, well, I don't know why Texas, but
I was in
rules.
A box for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah,
he was. Put all of us in the box. When we're done talking about oatmeal, we bring him in, okay?
Yep.
Well, welcome back, Paul. Last time you were on the program, you spoke of us. You had a lovely tale of Elijah Wood sightings.
I did.
Right.
Elijah Wood is part of the fabric of this
And
program.
I remember you telling us the story about how your dad's very close friend was Mr. Rogers.
That's true, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
you guys, yeah, I'm glad. Thanks for refreshing me on what I talked about, because last time I was here, I got a phone call in the later afternoon, and Patty, you were like, you should come on the podcast. I'm like, I'm a little drunk. You're like, it's fine.
Don't swear.
You'll be fine. Yeah.
Just don't swear. And don't use any profanity, because I think many of our listeners think I'm off my rocker half the time. But welcome back. I haven't seen you in a year. You left.
I did.
For a while. Had you started the Sunday Funnies and then went to L.A.?
Yeah, the Sunday Funnies is, it's incredible. It kept running
That's
while
great.
I was gone.
How many years has it been going now?
Two and a half.
Right. And it's a great room.
Yeah, it is. It keeps getting better. We moved it from the big room that you time you were there, and then we're now in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz like at first I was like, well, there's regulars in there, they're drinking, and then the comics are like, yeah, screw them. You know, like let's do it in there. You know, if they don't like it, they can leave, but we're, you know, they got balls, those comics. They're ready for the general public.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course. Are you getting on stage still?
I am. It's been so busy lately that I've just kind of like you know, I just kind of roll through and just, you know, bring up the next guy. I'll do a quick one. I haven't done like a setup there in a little while.
Yeah.
And I have a co-host now, this guy, Justin Connor, who helps bring in fresh
but
faces.
But he's a real man. He actually does stand up, unlike us, where we just,
right.
we just think about it.
We hide behind microphones.
Right. We hide
We hide inside radios.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Sunday Funnies was started out of laziness. I was like, well, I'm at Friendly Tap all the time. I don't really want to drive out to a comedy show. What if it just had one here? Like, what if the comics just came to me? That would be
great.
Better.
Yeah. And they did. And it started, and it's become a nice little success. And everyone in Berwyn loves it and talks about it.
Yeah.
Our friend Pat Chase, who's been on the program, has headlined a couple times there.
That's true.
He loves that room. You went to L.A. And now, you, I'm sorry to say this, and my condolences to you is that you lost your dad.
Yes, I did. So that was an impetus for me going out there. And then I was like, hey, you know, it's kind of warm and sunny. I'll stick around for a little
bit.
Right. Yeah. So did I know you were looking after your dad, and then he passed. Were you still, did you stay in L.A.? Because your dad relocated to Los Angeles years ago.
Yeah, he did. He was in L.A., and then actually I was there, and I came back. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of taking care of him, and then I came back to take care of some stuff, and then he passed, and then I've kind of gone back and forth since then. It's okay. A little bit of a second home, which is you could pick worse second homes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One of my favorite places on earth.
You went out there. Did you know anybody out in L.A. other than your dad when you first got out there?
I knew one guy. I knew this my friend Brian Studley, who was working at Fox, so I would like check that out sometimes. That was really cool. And then another friend, Joe Dooley, was out there. I stayed with both those guys.
An Irishman.
Yeah, definitely. Of the Dooley brothers fame.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was out there. I was staying with those guys, staying with my dad.
Right.
And it was awesome.
And now you're back. And back. Since you've been back, you're sober now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And, welcome.
And you're pretty vocal about it on Facebook.
I may as well be. It's not like people don't notice. It's like, oh, here, you know what I mean?
Well, the irony is like, oh, I haven't seen Obis in a year. And someone's like, well, he quit drinking. And I was like, oh yeah, that would make sense.
Might as well be open about
because
it.
Because I used to see Paul was in the pubs.
Yep.
That's true. Exactly. That's true.
You got to drop off the radar. For a while.
A little bit.
You know? Well, you know what they say. If you hang around the barbershop, you'll get your hair cut eventually.
That's true. So. That's true. Which sucks if you're a comedian, because guess where comedy takes place? Yeah. It's in the bars.
Exactly.
You know?
In the barbershop.
Yeah. I know. And I've thought about taking the leap of just quitting boozing. And I work in a bar, though. And I'm like, it's just so, what am I going to do? It's
doesn't
so tempting.
Matter.
You know, I mean, I still tend bar, but it's like, I got to get out of the bars. I got to, you know.
There's probably cigarette salesmen out there.
I need to retire the bartending.
There's cigarette salesmen out there who don't smoke, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Not good ones. You know?
You need a deep cough if you want to sell these smokes to people.
These are good squares.
I sell beer now.
I know
still
you
do it. And like people are like, what's this? What's the pistachio ale like? Well, I'm like, it's like an ale with pistachio.
pistachio buff.
It's like, it's exactly how it says on
have
the
you
page,
had,
sir.
So you don't admit yet, because you work as a bartender and a server. You haven't admitted to your customers, you're like, I don't drink. I have no idea. Yeah. And do people go, you don't drink?
Does it matter?
Tell us why.
I don't use that poison anymore. No,
here's your Coors Light.
Yeah.
I want to like flip the table over like, no, I can't. I'm an alcoholic.
You should.
Like the Hulk.
Please tip me well.
Right. You just say it really straight face. I'm an alcoholic. I don't drink anymore. Yeah. Your mozzarella sticks are coming right out. Right in front of all the kids.
Yeah. Well, congrats. It's a big step.
It is. Congratulations,
Paul. Thank you.
You're a year sober now?
I'm
13 months?
Yeah, 15 months tomorrow, actually.
Nice.
Not that anyone's keeping count.
We are. Our listeners are now, so if they run into you and you have a relapse, they'll say, remember that time you were on the Hoolies show?
This keeps me accountable. You know, that's all. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Clay, how many years sober?
I have not had any liquor since 2006.
Wow, 13 years.
That's yeah.
You're like a sensei master with this.
That's correct.
You are. Bow to your sensei.
I can break boards with my hands. It's amazing.
That reminds me of something I'm going to bring up later in the show.
Yeah.
Paul, what was the impetus all of a sudden? Did you have one of those horrible moments where you're like, this is
did you
end.
Have a bender, an
this
awesome bender?
Yeah.
No, I wish. Like, because there's people that are like,
I
I'm
had
going
awesome
to.
Bender.
Yeah. I'm jealous of people that did, because they were like, oh, man, I knew I was going to rehab. So, like, I bought a quarter of mushrooms and a bottle of tequila. Yep. And I had a night, you know. Yeah. And then I'm like, I had a watered down Jack and ginger. Like, I wish I had known that was the last thing I was gonna drink for a while. Like, I would have punched it up a little bit.
Yeah. But you are actually, you're like into the program. You like it.
I like it, yeah.
And how did you, like, who took you to, like, you don't have to say their name, but
it's supposed to be anonymous, Patty.
I mean, I don't think that there's people that are open about it, like, and it seems like it's pretty popular now. You guys know Theo Von?
Yes, the comedian.
He's super open about it, and like, you know, it's kind
of
cool.
Well,
like,
Mark Maron doesn't drink. There's a lot of guys in comedy that don't drink, and then they get successful. That's interesting.
I know. But you know, it's a funny. So many comics don't drink.
I know.
And when I started the
because
Sunday
mostly
Funnies,
because they can't anymore.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I mean, I have theories. But like, the thing is, like, when I started Sunday Funnies, I'd be like, I mean, these guys are hilarious on stage. I admire them, and I'm like, cool, like. They'd come to Friendly, and I'm like, you get a tall boy, let's do this thing. And they're like, no, I'm good. You know, and I'm like, you're good? Like, what the?
I thought we were going to rap and get buzzed up together and tell some jokes. You're going home?
Right.
You've only been here 7 minutes. I would have given you 15.
They are uncomfortable in the bar, man. And it's funny because sometimes people come up to them and they're like, oh, I know you, you know. And they just, you know, it's like, because they're divulging really personal things in front of them. And that don't make them your friend, bro. That's that's their job, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so it makes it weird for them to meet people. I've witnessed some really awkward encounters.
Have you incorporated sobriety into your act?
I haven't yet. Like, I've thought about it, but like, you know, like, because when I was like 9 months sober, I'm like, oh, I could, like, I'm giving birth to a child, and the child is me, and I have to now raise this stupid thing.
I am now a baby again. I have to start over.
But then I'm like, if I go out like tomorrow, then like I'm gonna be really embarrassed.
Yeah.
So I've touched on it a little bit, but not majorly. It comes out, you know, if you're being butt naked honest, it can't not come out. You know.
Elijah Wood's the one who took you to AA.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I'm sure he doesn't party. None of those guys party. You know,
he landed on your shoulder and whispered in your
Frodo.
Ear.
Stop doing this madness.
Stop drinking, Paul. It's me, please. Elijah Wood.
Please.
I had, like, go back to your question. A friend, I was calling him, like, I did a month sober on my own without any AA magic on my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, see, I got this. And then, like, when I went out again, I was like, I don't got this. This sucks. Uh-huh. You know, it's hard to do it on your own. So I was actually downtown Los Angeles at this place called, like, the Casbar.
Yeah.
And it's, like, where Guns N' Roses used to play.
Sure,
and I
cool.
was like, yeah. It was it's next to this restaurant, too, a deli that's, like, in a bunch of movies. Anyway, I was there, and I was calling my buddy because I was obviously, you don't go into AA on a winning streak, you know? Everybody goes in there, kind of their tail between their legs. So I was calling my buddy who's in the program, and he was like, hold on a second. Is that you? As I was outside having a cigarette, like crying to him.
Yeah.
And he pulled over and he's like, I can't believe I'm driving by you in downtown
LA. And you just called me.
Yeah. And I was on the phone with him. And he was like, and you know, this
was serendipitous, Paul.
Well, it is, you know, it's a spiritual program. So he's like, dude, this brought me. He was in the program
Axl
for 5
Rose
years.
To thank for this.
He was the ghost.
We might have to play Mr. Brownstone later.
It was the ghost of River Phoenix being like, don't wind up like
don't
me.
Go back
stay
in
away
there.
From the Viper Room.
Yeah. So you had Elijah on one shoulder and River on the
other.
That's
right.
Interesting.
An angel and a double.
Clay, Paul gave Elijah Wood a ride to Johnny's Beef one day.
I've heard this story.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I
would have kidnapped him.
That's what I was. This came up the other day.
You would have been famous.
I was talking to him about a comic. I haven't done this in a while, but I was at Cigars and Stripes and I was talking to a comic, and he was like, he was probably pretty scared when he realized. You knew who he was. I was like, oh, he was terrified, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He did not want me to get out. I got a beard, you know? I look like I've stared at, like, a guy who might have watched Lord of the Rings a few.
You could probably look a little scary if you wanted to.
Yeah, for sure. And,
hello, Frodo.
Then I came up with that night, and I put it in my set. I was like, seeing a celebrity in public is like seeing a bear in the woods. They're a lot more afraid of you than you are of them.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Like, you might be starry-eyed and like, ooh, look, there's Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner's terrified of you at that moment. The moment they see the recognition in your crazy eyes, they're like, oh, I was just trying to have dinner.
Kevin Costner's terrified of nothing.
He was in Dances with Wolves. Come
on. Dude,
I'm a big fan of his. He's got a new show, which
Costner
I love.
Costner fears nothing.
I haven't seen Costner in a long time.
Costner or Costner?
He's in a show called Yellowstone, which you should watch. It's about, he's like a rancher, and it's all this corruption, crazy, like, Western.
He can't keep his cowboy boots.
He can't keep
Costner plugs tonight.
What is it? Is this more Elliot Ness in the West now? He's a ranger instead of,
you would,
you know,
like it.
Looking
it's
for
like
Capone?
It's the Sopranos of the West.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's his name in...
He's like a millionaire rancher. He's got this giant ranch.
What's his name in Field of Dreams? Ray something.
Ray
Kinsella. Of course. Yeah, his famous role, Ray Kinsella.
Back to Paul Obis.
Can I just say, I saw Kevin Costner on, I watched Truth or Dare Madonna. Yes. I got it on VHS, the only way you should watch it.
And you got a VCR?
I have a VCR. My roommate has one, and I love it. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm buying some VHSs for 50 cents and bringing these dusty old things home. He's in it, and I learned a lot. I didn't know Madonna's name was Madonna. I thought her name was like Cheryl, you know, something. Yeah.
Her name's not Madonna.
It is Madonna.
It's freaking Madonna.
Yeah.
It's not like Lisa Jones.
No, her last name, she's got an Italian last name.
No, I'm not buying that.
It's real, man. I was like, wow, she's the real deal. Kevin Costner's in that, and he goes up to her after her show.
He's in Truth or Dare?
Yeah. He goes, there's
his character?
It's a documentary.
Yeah.
So he plays himself.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He goes up to her after a show and he's like, I thought your show was very neat. And she gets all pissed off because she's like, neat? What hell kind of thing is that to say?
I agree. Costner's a little white bread, you know? He's like, this is too much for me.
And in that time, she was dating Warren Beatty, who's like 65 years old. Uh-huh. She's like 25. I'm like,
that's right.
He looks like, creepy.
Yeah, he's like the dirty old man in Truth or Dare.
Yeah. Yeah,
Madonna Louise Sassoni.
Yeah, right?
Madonna Sassoni. Yeah, she's from Bay City, Michigan.
There you go.
It's near, I don't know where that is. It's over here.
Do they play any Madonna at AA meetings? Do you ever say, hey, guys?
I can see her in the program. I can see her. Oh, but you know what's a sober jam is Like a Prayer. Let me just tell you.
Oh,
it is.
There's a lot of great Madonna.
You got to talk to your higher power, baby.
Listen to Bill. There's a lot of great Madonna songs coming out.
There are.
Next topic, please.
Yeah. What's the Madonna tune in At Close Range? Live to Tell. That's a jam right there.
It is. It is a jam. It is a jam. Dress You Up in My Love. Papa Don't Preach. Danny Aiello in the...
Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. She's got a lot of hits. She's very popular.
Are we talking about Madonna? We have a guest named Paul Obis.
I don't know why, because she aged well, and now she's controversy-free. I can't listen to Michael Jackson anymore. I've switched to Madonna.
I can't.
That's where I'm at.
That is true.
You know what? That's why Costner and Madonna are famous, because you just mention their name, and then you go off in these tangents. They're magnetic.
That's right.
That's why we're bums, and they're top of the
So maybe we should get a T-shirt that says Costner plus Madonna equals magnetism or something like that.
Magnetism.
Magnetism?
Yeah. Is there such a word?
There is not.
Let's make it up. Put it on there.
Costner plus Madonna equals magnetism.
Magnetism.
That's the word.
That is a real world.
Okay.
Oh boy, now we're getting into that is a real world. You're right. That is a real world. World.
We better put some more thought into this.
Yeah, yeah. We better learn to enunciate. We are on the radio.
We don't got time for that. This is an ADD world we live in.
Right.
Paul, craziest thing you've seen on stage at Friendly's in the last year at Sunday Funnies?
You mentioned your friend...
Pat Chase.
He busted his head on the mic last time was there. Yeah, dude. He was telling the thing about, like, you know, like his... like dad beating him with a Nintendo gun, you know?
Yeah.
He slammed it into his head, and he was bleeding pretty good, man.
Oh, wow.
Dedication.
Pat, it's very wild. Pat's very bummed. He got bumped this weekend. He was supposed to play the improv out in Schaumburg. He was going to open for Ari Spears.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we did plug his show last week. So if you bought tickets, enjoy Ari Spears, because he brought his own feature. Pat's kind of annoyed by it.
Oh,
yeah.
And then
what we should do? We should have him on here.
Sure, maybe next week, you know? Yes.
The other thing, like a couple months ago, over the winter, a huge car accident right out front of Friendly Tap. This car, like, went up in the air and then landed in a parking spot in front of Friendly Tap.
And the guy got out and he went, I'm here for the funny. I'm your headliner. How's that for an entrance?
And then, you know, it was a huge thing. And this girl whose car got hit, she's like, I can't talk to the cops. I've been drinking here since noon. I'm like, you stay at your bar seat. We'll take care. The comedy show will go back on in a minute. It's crazy.
We will all laugh later.
Yeah.
It's funny. Once, there used to be a place on Roosevelt called Kings and Queens. It was
fantastic
hero spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And me and my buddy Adam Miller were once walking out of that place, and a car drove down the sidewalk at about 80 miles an hour that was being chased by the police.
Oh.
And we literally, like, opened the door, and it went right by us, and we kind of stood in the entryway, and we're like, wow. And then it smashed into, like, five parked cars, and it was, like, this big thing.
Old Berwyn.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we just left.
Old Berwyn.
Now instead of, there on the
we
boat,
were so
yeah.
filled with Euros, we couldn't think to intervene.
Instead of King and Queens, you know, you got to hit up big guys and go see Brennan.
See our buddy Brennan?
Yeah.
Here's what I wanted to ask. Did Pat Chase go all Iggy Pop and just bleed all over himself and finish his set as a comedian?
He did. That's exactly
it. Did someone just hand him a rag and he just sat there with a rag on his head for the rest of his set?
I mean, it wasn't like gushing blood, but it was noticeable. And like the joke he was doing it for effect, like a pop, you know, of him getting hit.
Right.
And it was a loud. It got people like, they got their attention.
He exaggerated it too much.
So he had a good time. We all had a good time.
Have you had any celebrity drop-ins on Sunday Funnies?
No, we were talking about that. We were like, we had this great idea after the last show. Me and Justin Connor, my co-host, I was like, we should get celebrities. We should get like huge comedians. He's like, that's a great idea.
That's kind of a good idea. Should get some bigger names around here. You know who you should ask now that he's not doing anything? Johnny Galecki. He's going to do his first ever stand-up set.
Really? Are
Why
you,
not?
Are you serious?
Why not?
Yeah.
We talk about a lot about Galecki on the program.
Okay. Well, I remember seeing him at Kevel's, the bar.
Correct.
A couple time or two.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. If you're listening to this, get contact
John.
Paul Wendelobis on the Facebooks. We'll get you booked.
I'm gonna tag
June
John
2nd.
Galecki, and I gotta start. Not one of these things with this getting. So I gotta get social. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, I'm social enough on the radio, but I need to get better at this social media. And every program we talk about such bizarre things now.
Tell him to bring his checkbook.
There's gonna be 80 hashtags for every show now. Like at Johnny Galecki, at Paul Obis, at you know. Magnetism. You know what I mean?
Hashtag
at Madonna, at Warren Beatty,
at Costner,
at Costner, at Kentucky Derby, at Yuppies, at
Drunk Easter,
Drunk Easter,
yeah. At Drunk Easter, at Softball Parents, at
Hashtag Lotto,
at Illinois Lotto, at Lucky Day Lotto,
Hashtag Broken Drums.
Clay is still upset. You're still upset with Mr. Galecki.
John Galecki, I play the drums. And,
me too. We have a lot in common. We're going to go out for LaCroix.
Wait, you guys are both sober? You guys both play the drums and you both like comedy. Interesting.
New best friends.
Wait, did you work at the music store in Forest Park?
Forest Park.
It's called Musicopia. Kagan and Gaines?
No. I worked at one called Musicopia for a little while, but that's close.
Anyway. Where was I going with this?
Broken drum.
Yes.
Johnny Galecki broke a set of drums that I owned.
Well, I'm sure you can afford
after
you a new one.
After his visit to Kevel's.
Nothing good happens after Kevel's.
Yeah. And I believe it happened at Vince Mamoser's house.
It did. It was an electronic set, so it was very fragile.
If it was at Vince Mamoser's, it was only a matter of time before that.
It had a death sentence.
I believe.
Dude, when you leave drums somewhere, you've given them away.
That's
They're
true.
No longer your drums. It's like, you know, it's like the thing, like I remember when I was a little kid and before I was an actual drummer, like this drummer brought over his kit and my older brother was like, "No, don't touch that thing or we'll beat your ass." And I was like, "Cool, yeah, nope, not gonna touch that super fun looking drum set
Brandon,
that you just hit with sticks."
This was the Vince set, so the nice ones were away.
Okay.
This was the one that I purposely brought.
Sure.
But not to be destroyed by John Galecki.
Yeah.
Was not the purpose of bringing the drums.
What happened? Was Vince the one who blamed it on Johnny Galecki? He said, "You came over and said my drums are broken."
I went
said,
there
oh,
the
Johnny
next
Galecki
day
because
me
them.
And Vince played together. And the reason I had him there is because we were going to record some stuff. So
now, Clay, that's...
They were unplayable. They have been Galeckized.
There's something about when non-drummers hit drums, they like break them. It's like the things are built to be hit. You know, and if you're a drummer, it's fine. But as soon as some jackass, like drunk jackass, gets on your drums, the cymbal's gonna crack. It's not gonna make it.
Right. Paul,
it was aggressive.
When you're hosting at Sunday Funnies, maybe that's your new shtick on stage. You have your drum kit off to the side. And you start
that
the show.
That won't be annoying to set up.
You're just sitting there doing rim shots during the show.
Well, we have an organ player now.
Oh, that's nice.
At the show, doing it live.
Kaminsky Park's.
Wait
style.
A second, though. Who is the organ player? He's very talented.
There's two of them. Isaac Lyons, who bartends at Fitzgerald's.
But one of them just got a music deal.
Yeah, that's true. Gee, how the heck did you know this?
Because
stuff?
I do my research.
Holy
Paul.
Schmoly. The other guy, because he's touring all the time,
he's
but he does
great.
It when he can.
Maybe
he's
we'll
awesome.
Play his song tonight.
Oh, it's awesome.
What's his name? He's
his name's Neil Francis.
Neil Francis.
Yeah, he's blowing up, man.
He is blowing up. He's like Dr. John.
I know. He is. So you know his music.
I do know his music.
Yeah, it's good stuff. He released a double single today.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What's it called? Do you know?
I know one of them.
These are the days.
These are the days.
Ooh, maybe I'll play that tonight to close out the
you
show.
You should. Let's definitely do that. And then we can hashtag him too.
And then we'll put it at Neil Francis.
He can be on the list of hashtags.
Oh, you got it. I heard that he was your new accompanying you guys at that showcase, and I was like, wait a second, this guy's amazing.
I know. Yeah, he did one, and he was like, I love this. You know, like I'll do it again. And then he's just touring all the time. He got back this morning from New Orleans. So, yeah, he's a busy dude. But when we can get him, he's awesome. Isaac Lyons is awesome.
Yes.
As well.
How long have you been playing the drums?
Since I was like 13. You know, the age when there was no hair before.
Yeah. I need a guitar.
We're like playing cello or violin is no longer acceptable. And you just got to, At that age, I started.
Yeah. Okay.
And cool. Then you just start, it's the same age you start smoking.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Usually. One day you just wake up a worse person. You're now a drummer and a smoker.
Uh-huh. Well, I picked up the drums when I quit drinking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's I didn't start until I was like 26.
Oh, wow.
And I'm now 38, so I've been playing nice. For 12 years.
Sweet.
Yeah. Listeners.
Yeah, so you're a lot better than me.
No, I do it less now. So you could be better than me because I barely do it.
I got three kids.
Hell yeah. And they don't trash that thing?
I got them a little one. They got their own.
Oh, man. You are good to go. There is a special place in heaven for parents that buy their kids little drum sets, That is a risky move.
I love it. They're banging at them all day.
On the next episode of Drum Talk.
Drum Dads.
Drum Dads. Hey, if you're going to be in the Beverly area this weekend, stop over on Western Avenue and say hello to Marion Bernard at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub at 10618 Southwestern. Perfect Southside Irish bar. And something to do this weekend. So go say hello to them. They're great sponsors, good people. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll return with Paul Obis after these messages.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no. Is because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero, and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Boy.
Ooh. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Paul, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Here's your folding chair.
Here's your folding chair.
Here's your folding chair and a pack of Pall Malls.
And a tiny styrofoam cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Filled with black coffee.
I've always wondered what the food was like that they
serve.
There
is no food. No food.
Are you kidding
Sometimes
me? No, there's like a
donuts.
There
maybe you'll get
there
cookies.
Used to be an AA spot in Forest Park.
Bill, you're telling us that there's that you know if there's
I know
food or not?
Dude, they were carrying they were barbecuing out there all the time.
No one
is barbecuing.
They're like carnival hot
Wait
dogs.
A second.
No one is barbecuing at AA meeting.
Hold on a second.
I'm telling you right now.
Bill is right about this. I've seen this.
Maybe that was like a celebration. Maybe it was someone's birthday or
it
something.
It was right behind Bill's apartment where he used to live. There was a
yes,
Sunday AA
place.
Meeting.
That place is different.
And those
Dude,
guys
they
would
had
be...
like pancake breakfast. There's... I mean, they were doing it right.
No, the food that I've had at AA halls is not done right. It is terrible food.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't think I ever ate anything.
Dude, we should start an AA restaurant. Like, every night is an AA meeting with excellent food.
Just have, like, those big racks of Euros, slicing Euros at
yes.
the AA meeting.
You know who would be a great cook for that? Brendan O'Connor is a big guy sausage, except for he'd be exceptionally high and then make everybody else. People really uncomfortable. No.
Our chef, he's the only guy drinking. So.
Yeah, he's allowed. He's allowed.
Clay, you think Euros meat is acceptable at the Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah, just give everyone a pita, tell them to walk by, and
dude,
get
the
ready.
Guy just
get ready
right off the skew, flying out Euros.
Hold
sandwiches?
On, before the first speaker, let's everyone line up for Euros. All right,
the tzatziki sauce is to your left.
Yep,
I got the onions
full
and the tomatoes.
Of tzatziki, sit down. No drinking, of course. And
boy, you've been
go.
Talking about you got Euro on your mind.
I love Euro. It's one of my favorite foods.
For radio listeners, Euro is a lamb meat that comes.
We talk
on
about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
What do you mean for our listeners?
Come on,
they know what
we
Euros
wrote
is.
A cartoon, Euro Man versus Dracula.
Our listeners are
been
smart.
There. We've done this.
Well, this is for our listeners that are from Oregon or somewhere like that.
The one guy in Oregon.
Do they have Euros in Oregon?
I'm sure they do.
In Oregon.
They have deer Euros. Deer Euros.
You're from Oregon, right?
Oregon?
Is that the sandwich you put jardinara on?
Yeah, how was the food out in L.A.?
It's
terrible.
Fine. I don't know. I the
if you
food
like noodles,
thing,
it's good.
The two things I won't hear about is food and traffic. It's like those things exist good and bad
everywhere.
You morons. Like, come on.
Did you call, as soon as you got back to Chicago, did you go get yourself a combo at Johnny's or something?
Sure. Yeah.
Or,
yeah. I
you
mean,
don't go to Big Guys and do the same thing.
I mean, you know what? They're in a little better shape out there. Maybe if the food's all, if the food was worse here, we'd all lose a few lbs.
We'd all live to be 100.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I actually lived in LA for a little while myself.
Nice.
And I found the food to be atrocious. I mean, it was like, I wanted like fried crap though.
Yeah,
you can't find that anywhere.
Yeah, we do fried crap here. But, like, they don't know what a pizza puff
is. I was just gonna bring up the pizza puff.
We love talking about.
You should open up a pizza puff and Coke stand up there.
Egg rolls and Coke and pizza puffs on the weekends.
AA meetings.
It'll be egg rolls and Coke at AA meetings. Clay.
Oh,
ding
God.
Ding 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 ding. That's the winner.
We had an idea.
I would go to that meeting. Elijah Wood would go to that meeting.
Oh my God.
We have posters of Elijah Wood all over the room.
Elijah, you want a Coke and an egg roll?
$600.
Elijah Wood paid $600 for a Coke and egg roll from a guy in Chicago at an AA meeting.
At AA, at Elijah, at egg roll.
Yeah.
Important stuff.
I love that you're saying at.
Like at this.
Like
at
they're
that.
People instead of hashtag.
Hashtag.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
At
See,
egg
I told
roll.
You, I gotta get better at this social stuff.
At egg roll.
I can't even get the term straight.
Like there's this egg roll sitting there checking his Twitter.
There are egg rolls checking their Twitter, believe me. You're going to be in the Midway neighborhood this weekend. Go see Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub. It's at 6462 South Central Avenue. It's one of the best Irish pubs in the Midway area.
In the world.
And tell them that the Hoolies sent you. All right?
Yeah.
Say hello to Mike and Dawn. Or, Paul, you ever do any boxing?
No, I have a giant nose, and it would get busted up real easy. So.
Well, one thing like that people like to do when they quit drinking is get into shape.
Yeah, sure, right.
And if you're interested in learning how to
fight. No better way.
And get in shape. Go see our friend Mike Joyce at the Celtic Boxing Club in the Beverly Mount Greenwood area at 3012 West 111th Street.
What is this, Joe Rogan or something? What's going on here?
This is, I take that all day, man. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
You can call Mike at 773-779-7266 if you want to learn how to fight this summer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, learn how to fight. Yeah, start a fight with somebody.
Start a fight club.
Get sober and start picking fights with
start
everyone.
Start picking fights with drunk
confused
people.
Confused people. Ever since Paul got sober, he's really...
He goes into bars
he's very aggressive.
He goes into bars at 3 a.m. and just fights drunk people. It's amazing.
It's called a bouncer, usually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else happened to you this week that just blew your... Yeah, go ahead, Clay.
I got something. All right. I took my kids to their first baseball game.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. That's very sweet. I did. I saw some Instagram posts on that. See, and I tell you, I'm social, man.
Yeah, man. It was good. We went to, Comiskey Park.
Okay. Yep.
Guaranteed and, rate field.
Yeah, GNR.
Yeah.
Stadium. Mm-hmm. And we stayed for about it.
How many innings did you make it with those guys? 2 innings before those guys punked out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're 4-3.
Yeah.
And we got there like an hour early.
Okay.
So we did all the nonsense and then had some food.
Did you buy it? I saw they both had fresh fitted White Sox hats on.
They did. They've had those for a while, actually. Yeah.
Nice.
Are those low profiles? Did you get them a low profile hat? Like Ice Cube?
High quality. High quality for the kids.
This was the Sox game?
Yeah, they lost 9-2.
Oh, I thought the Sox were doing good this season.
No.
But I wanted to ask you, I had a weird job when I was really ready to just bottom out entirely. I took a job where I was at Wrigley Field every day.
Oh, my God.
And I would go up to fans and take their picture and then come back with a print of their picture, right on the behind home plate.
Right.
And then sell it to them for $45.
Wow.
And they would just buy them like crazy.
You could sell them. I mean, I'm an okay salesman, so I'd get them into their hands. And there you would see some celebrities. I saw Eddie Vedder. I saw, who's the guy from Wilco?
Oh, take my picture.
Please take the picture.
Hanging outside
Jeff Ruby. Tweedy.
I saw Jeff Tweedy. I asked him. I did not see John Cusack, but yeah. I saw Tweedy. I saw. I went up to him. And
Chris Chelios.
I'm not a big Wilco fan, but so I noticed his wife first because she's smoking hot.
Uh-huh.
And then
and he's like, "Hey,
went up
man."
There, and he was sitting there, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to get your picture taken?" And he goes,
"Little boy,
no, and don't ask me again." And
I
was
"What?"
Yeah, I was like, Wilco sucks, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
why don't
man.
You plug
Ouch.
Your guitars in, you jerks?
We won't be at hashtagging Tweety.
Did I do it? Did I do it?
I'm banning Wilco.
Why? I like Wilco.
No, because of that story. It rubs me the wrong way.
I don't like people taking my picture either. Especially somebody who looks like Obis,
That's right.
Guy comes up and goes, can I take a picture? I go, no. Beat it.
I was wearing a bright green shirt. You'll see these guys. You can see them on TV on the broadcast. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
Boy.
Okay.
These jokers.
I went into an establishment that I had always driven by for maybe the past 20 years.
Okay.
And you finally took the venture in?
I was, Mary and I were having dinner on Friday night, and then we saw a friend of ours at the restaurant, and he's like, hey, I'm going across the street. He's like, stop by and have a drink if you guys want to on your way home.
Right, sure.
He's like, I'm supposed to meet these two ladies there. We're like, okay. He's like, if you see me or if you see my car parked over there, come over there and rescue me. Just stop in for one, because he had never been in there either.
Was it a place called Wrigley Field?
It was Old Warsaw on 22nd. And I'll tell you one thing, man.
Bohemian food, or Polish food in this case,
right?
Yeah,
but it was like being in old Vegas.
Yeah. Right.
The rooms are
like at Circus
pink.
Circus.
It's like a buffet, and you walk in the bar, and it's really dark.
Makes me want to go there.
And
that
then,
place is surreal,
And
man.
Then you walk around the side where the buffet's going on, and it looked like an old casino that's on its last legs in Vegas.
How was the clientele?
Well, I mean, it was obviously senior citizens and
single people. Was anyone wearing a three-piece suit?
I didn't look that hard. Some people were. I don't know. The bar was, but there's always those, you know, going to a joint like that, you always go into a bar, there's always a guy who claims, you know.
That Al Capone was
I knew this guy. Al Capone, I knew that guy, ate a steak with me. Me and this guy were, you know.
I got Al Capone Zippo.
And he's like,
loaded in my car.
And he's like telling me this, and I'm like, I don't care. You're an old, you're having a drink by yourself.
Let me get this straight. You're saying that you walked into Old Warsaw and some guy at the bar said he had Al Capone Zippo in his car? Well, how the heck?
Basically, not yes.
Kind of like that.
But you're saying there's always like an old outfit type guy at joints like that that want to hold court and tell you about who
claims to be.
I'm not like, even in.
What are you doing wearing sweatpants then?
Were you drinking at Old Warsaw? Were you sitting at the bar at Old Warsaw?
I had a beer in Old Warsaw.
Were you by yourself?
I was with Mary, and then we met up with our friend Liam.
Okay.
You know what? Yeah. The four of us should go eat, put suits on.
We should go
to Old Warsaw.
Should do a sit.
That's right.
The five of us.
All of us.
We'll bring Mike along too. We can't do the show without Mike.
Of course not.
Ever.
Well, it's not going to be recorded.
Oh, you know what though? It's weird. Like you drive by that, I'm like, I'm glad I actually got to experience it.
Yeah.
Those like kinds of things in Chicago are rare.
We got to keep those places open too.
Hashtag Old Warsaw. I'll be sending you an invoice.
Hashtag New Warsaw.
But Bill, I know what you mean. At every one of these old places, they're like, you know, it's like Capone was here. If Capone was at all of the places that people say he was at, he would have had to live a lot longer than like 36 or whatever.
Yeah.
He'd have before he got syphilis and cracked
there's, up. I don't know. There was a lot of room for some comedy ideas going into a place.
Bill,
like
how did
that,
the food look?
I didn't get a chance to like. I wasn't gonna like walk up to the buffet. They're at it, you
People
know,
like the food. I've heard good things.
Yeah, I have too.
We're going.
All right. Let's do this.
Well, if you've enjoyed the last hour of this program, Paul Obis has been our guest.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you coming up.
You can go see Paul at the Sunday Funnies. It's the first Sunday of every month at the Friendly Tap in Berwyn.
That's right.
Do you have an address for that,
Paul? I do. The Friendly Tap is located at 6733 Roosevelt Road, Berwyn, next to Gina's Ice.
There you go. Or you could, do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, Paul Wendell Obis.
All right, go see Paul at the Facebook too. Paul, who's the headliner on the next show?
I'm sorry, it's the Sunday Funnies on Facebook, yeah.
There you go. Who's the headliner this week?
Kenyon Adamczyk.
And what's the date of that show?
June 2nd. And he's funny and he's going places. He's a good one.
Cool. All right, Paul, thank you. If you've enjoyed the program, you can find us at hibernianradio.org. Or you can go to iTunes and search for the Hooli's Hooli Show there. Paul, it's been a pleasure. We were going to play your organ player at Sunday Funnies is Neil Francis.
That's right.
He just put out a single today, correct?
Yep. That's right.
Here it is. This is Neil Francis with These Are the Days. Until next week, bye.
But these days I'm crying. It's our time that I paid the price, so that the next time maybe I'll think twice. Doesn't matter to you, girl, you know that I'm in misery. Come on.